we want to continue our study in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11. I thought we'd just read a couple verses back there again, just to kind of set our minds on the subject. And we probably should mention the date. It is January the 23rd, 2018, and this is Pow Talk, and this is Bob Gunther, TFT Seeker, that's speaking to you. We trust that everyone is in reasonable health. We know that things have been tough for a few of you, and we've been praying for you. Mention that again, and ask that the Lord would give us a clear mind and a good understanding of how important the Apostle Paul is to us, as he is said to be one that we should follow after. His command was, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so that's why we're into this study. That's why we're actually going through the book of Acts, just reading the account of the Apostle Paul in Acts, and trying to understand more about him. And we trust the Lord will bless each of us as we continue to put him first in our lives. We ask it all in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, and for his sake, amen. So, let's start out just by reading a couple verses in 2 Timothy 3. We'll just start out in verse 10, where it says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience, and my persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, and at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And so that's as far as I wanted to read there. I want to go back to Acts, and in chapter 9, it's where we want to begin. We want to read about 31 verses there in Acts 9. And it talks about, I'd have to say, it was Saul of Tarsus was the person that's mentioned. But we do know that after the Apostle Paul had that experience on the road to Damascus, that he had a name change. And the Lord gave him a new name. His name then became Paul. And we do know that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. We are certainly thankful that he was desirous to want to serve the Lord, put the Lord first. And we know that he was another person likened to Moses, in the sense that God's going to be speaking to him, and he was going to be speaking to us as if he were God himself. In other words, God would tell him what to say. Doesn't mean every word that he uttered was that, but every word that is recorded for our learning is in our book, the Bible. And so as a result of that, we can glean from that what the Apostle Paul did, what he said, how he lived his life, how he was willing to suffer for the Lord. And we trust each of us would be willing to do that also. So most of this is fairly familiar with us as body members, but when he made the statement there in Timothy that we were fully aware, it seems to me like it doesn't hurt for us to repeat those things that happened to him and his willingness to put the Lord first in his life and become an example for all of us, especially body members. So Acts 9 verse 1 says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slander against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest." It's important that we recognize that Saul was one who thought he was serving the Lord, one who thought he was serving God, and thought that his zeal and his capturing Christians was something that he was supposed to do. And he was the high priest and get permission to continue this, what he considered to be his role. So he says in verse 2, "And he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem." I think with the beginnings that this man had, it is amazing that the Lord chose him to be his apostle to the Gentiles. But we, as we will be reading, we can see that he truly had a transformation and a heart-changing experience, in the sense that he was willing to serve the Lord in a real way, in a way that the Lord truly wanted him to. Not against Christians, but for Christians. Verse 3 says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him light from heaven." We don't really know what other people heard and saw, but we know that that this light was so bright that it made Saul blind and did damage to his eyes. And we know that this was such a great impact that he fell down to his knees. And it says, "And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord?" This is what Saul said in response to what the Lord had said. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." So he was, again, thinking he was doing the Lord's work. But as the Lord is informing him, "You were doing quite the opposite. You were actually my enemy." And he says, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks," or the responses that the Lord, when he speaks to him, it makes it, since it's coming from the Lord himself, he comes under huge conviction, and it's impossible for him to prevent or stop the Lord from giving him this message that he wanted him to have. It says in verse 6, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" It's a question that each of us can ask of the Lord, what he would have for us to do, what might be pleasing unto him. And it says, "And the Lord said unto him, Arise." Now, he's not telling us to do this, but he's telling Saul to do this. "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." We have the Lord speaking to him directly here, but what we're going to see is there's some other men that are going to be involved with Saul for this translation to be complete, for this heart change to be complete. So it says, "And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And I'm not sure that they heard what the Lord said, but I know Saul heard it. And I know it. That's the message was for at that point in time. He says in verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. So we can see that the Lord is providing him, even though he blinded him, he was supplying him men who were going to lead him where he needed to go next. It says, and he was 3 days without sight. Now the number three is very important, has a lot of significance. We know that there are three parts of the Godhead, and we know when the Lord used this 3 days, it gave Saul time to think about what was going to be next. It says he neither did eat nor drink. It's something that they seemed to do back in those days was to go on a fast. I'm pretty sure this one here was by design, that he wanted to weaken Saul's flesh a little bit. The Lord did. And we'll see as he goes through this change that he is strengthened again. His body is strengthened again, which is actually necessary for him to be able to serve. Verse 10 says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus, and his name was Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. I think it's interesting that this man is not willing to do this when he first hears what the Lord is asking him to do. But as the Lord explains to him, his willingness changes, and he realizes that he needs to do what the Lord's commanding him to do. That the Lord is the one in control of this. So it's in verse 12, and it's telling this Ananias what the Lord, what Saul had seen, the experience that he had had. And it's in a vision, and a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard many of this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. I suppose it's not unusual for man to think that the Lord didn't truly understand or didn't truly know how Saul of Tarsus had been an enemy, and that he really wasn't wanting to help him. It says in verse 14, it says, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. We know that was Saul's express purpose in going there, was to get this permission. So it's not like these things that this chief priest is stating, or this Ananias is stating, are wrong. They are accurate. But it doesn't mean that this man knew the future and knew who Saul of Tarsus was going to become. It says in verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. These are three really different distinct ministries that he's going to do. One is to bear his name before the Gentiles. Second, he's actually going to go before kings and testify. And then finally, he has a message to the children of Israel. And we know that initially, when Paul went to Israel, he was still pre-second coming of Christ. But we know that changed in his last seven books. His inheritance, his hope had changed. And we know that in none of this that we're reading in 15 really is the mystery involved here. It may be something that Saul needs to do first. It's necessary for him to do these things, fulfill these three things, before the Lord reveals to him the mystery, the truth of the one body. He says in 16, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Most of us, when we think of service to the Lord, we don't necessarily think of it as suffering. Joe Watkins used to say it's enduring that we need to do, that we need to endure for the Lord, wait on him, and do whatever he asks us to do. Verse 17 says, "And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." I'm not stating that Saul wasn't a believer. What I'm stating, though, is there are some gifts that came along with this message that he was going to have. It was going to help others to believe what Saul, who became Paul, was going to say. And it was going to help Paul to become acceptable not immediately, but to the Jews innocent. We think this is part of the struggle, part of the suffering, for the fact that he has these gifts and he knows the Lord is asking him to go and to preach and to teach, and for those that he's going to, they don't understand why he's the one doing it, why the Lord chose him. And so I think this comes in time, but at the time that he's doing the service for the Lord, it's just part of that suffering that the Lord said he was going to have to endure. And it says in verse 18, "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith. And he arose, he was baptized." This is another thing I think that was part of that time, part of that dispensation, part of that age, that the laying on of hands and the being baptized was necessary for them to do in a very physical way. So he goes on to say in verse 19, "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus." I'm not sure that they completely grasped everything that Ananias had witnessed and what Saul had heard and understood. But I think it's very clear what he heard and the gifts that he was given, and the fact that he is now going to be a commissioned one, an apostle, a sent one. So it says in verse 20, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues." This was the same man that it was going around to these synagogues and trying to find the Christians and then putting them in prison. Now he's going there and preaching. And he was preaching that Christ is the Son of God. Verse 21 says, "But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name, this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? And a lot of these people that he brought back, they were not only put in prison, but some of them we'll be reading later were stoned, being Stephen, as a direct result of their belief. Then he says in verse 22 that Saul increased the more in strength, and he confounded the Jews at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. So as he preached, I think his confidence grew. I think the message was clear to him. I think he was more bold about it. Not that I ever considered Saul to be a timid person, but I think knowing when you got the Lord behind you, when you got the Lord working with you, you certainly gained confidence. And he says in 23, and after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. Just the opposite of what we would expect for them to do when this person came and gave him a great message. And yet, that was their response. I think it's clear to say that they didn't want Christ to rule over them, and they didn't. Their thought was, "Let's kill the messenger." And so again, I think just part of the suffering, in other words, what Saul may have thought or what Paul may have thought, it's going to be an easy thing for these people to believe. The Lord's with me. He's going to help me. He's going to give me signs. These people will believe me and fall in line and rejoice. Quite the opposite happened. In 24 it says, but their laying awake was known of Saul. I think he knew this. He knew how they felt, but I don't think he feared it. I don't think he was afraid. I think he knew and understood the Lord was with him, and the Lord already told him he was going to do these three different things. And I don't think he thought he was going to be killed prior to this this ministry being fulfilled. So he goes on to say, and they watched the gates night and day to kill him. I know it's not revealed here, but I know there's at least one time it's exposed that they make a vow that they're not going to eat until they kill him. And we know they didn't, so we have to say that they either kept their vow or they decided that they couldn't do it. But at any rate, that's how serious these men were about trying to kill Saul. Verse 25 says, then the disciples took him by night. Those are the ones that were with him and were helping him and help take care of him. And it says, and they let him down by the wall in a basket. So he's sneaking out of town, as it were. And I think this got ordained. I think this is what the Lord wanted him to do. There's sometimes we know the Lord wanted him to stand. Here's a time where it appears that the Lord wants him to escape and to go further along. And perhaps we should realize it's because he had this... the Gentiles going before the kings and going before Israel. It was necessary for him to do all these things before he dies. Verse 26 says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. And he says, but Barnabas took him, which is something that was pretty common in those days too, for or someone else, another person, in this case another apostle, to say that this man, this Saul, is true, that what he's saying is the truth, and that you should hear what he has to say. So he says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. This Saul had seen the Lord along the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he's strictly saying, you know, he's got a different message now. This is a changed person. He's no longer going to be putting Christians in prison and having them killed. But rather, the message he has is for them. It's for them to receive blessings. And even, I think, some of these gifts that he had, some, as we'll read later, will be able to receive some of these gifts as a direct result of believing the truth about the Lord. So in verse 28 it says, and he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. I suppose it was necessary for Barnabas to stick around in case this message or these statements that he makes have to be repeated. So he says in 29, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. He disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Again, the response and what he expects from you know, what he has to say. It doesn't say what he's stating about this, but it does seem to me that it's part of the suffering. I think he realizes that, you know, he's not understood, but it's okay. It's okay because the Lord is still with him. The Lord is still blessing him. So I guess a message that we should get from all that is the service of the Lord takes time. It's not something that you just do once and it's over with. But rather, it's a way of life, and it's a we just make ourselves available, and not to murmur and complain, but rather to allow the Lord to work through us. So he says in verse 30, which where the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea, and they sent forth to Tarsus. He says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, in Galilee, in Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. So, through all this, we see that there are some that believe. We find that the churches, the temples, we would see, have some peace. And that there are many added as a result of believing what Saul had to say. So the rest of what he's talking about, if we went on here, is talking about Peter and what Peter did. Not that I make light of that, but who we're looking at, who we're considering is our apostle. And so now we want to go to Acts chapter 11, and we'll read the first 11 verses of that. So Acts chapter 11, verse 1, and it says, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Remember, he was to go to the Gentiles, he was going to go before kings, and he was going to go with Israel. So it's necessary going to the Gentiles. I do want to say, though, that Peter had already opened that door, that the Lord had him see a vision, and that he went and sort of opened the door, so to speak, so that the Gentiles could be added Peter actually states that, although he doesn't spend near the time going to the Gentiles that the Apostle Paul does. So it says, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest unto men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. This was something that was forbidden prior to this time, prior to that vision that that Peter sees. He wouldn't have done this. He had to be led, and the Lord had to speak to him in such a way that he believed that that's what he was supposed to do, and then he did it. So it says, Peter says, Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and he expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa, praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend as if it had been a great sheet, lay down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beast of the earth, and wild beast, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. What this amounts to is the Jews are going to have a new diet. The things that they were instructed that they couldn't eat after Peter has this vision, they are free to eat these things. I don't think some of the Jews, the ones that were in leadership positions, necessarily did this, but I know that the Apostle Paul certainly did it. And I know that the diet was part of the change. In other words, the Lord is going to be changing the way that he's speaking. So he goes on to say, verse 6, upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord. For nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me from heaven, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common, or something that you shouldn't be partaking of, because the Lord has cleansed it, purified it. Verse 10 says, and this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. So in case there was any doubt in his mind about whether this thing was true, it's repeated three times. And we know when that happens, when it's repeated three times, that it is something that he should do. I'm needing to read clear down to verse 18. So it says in verse 11, and behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was sent from Caesarea to me. And the Spirit bade me go with them. In other words, this is Peter still explaining what the vision was all about and the whole experience that he had. So he says that he told me to go there. It says that he's not to have any doubts about what he's doing. So he says, moreover, these six brethren accompanied me. We entered into the man's house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in the house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who should tell thee these words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved, or I think preserved or kept. You know, if they do the right thing, the Israel was expected to be preserved, protected, kept. Verse 15 says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit were being given out to those who heard and believed. It says in 16, then remembered I the word of the Lord, that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, this is the gifts of the Holy Spirit is what's being spoken of here. And 17 says, for as much then as God gave them by gift, as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I could withstand God? Obviously, he's but a man, and God is God. So the best thing he could do was not to resist what the Lord told him to do. Verse 18 states, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. I've got about three more verses here I want to read in this chapter, and then we'll stop. In 19 it says, now there were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. He traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. He goes on to say in verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyrus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Then 21 says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. I think that's as far as I am. Well, I got two more verses, 26 and 27, then I'll stop. And when he had found him, he brought... So, verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. So I just wanted to say again that we have the message that Paul was going to go to the Gentiles. He was going to go to the go before kings, and he was going to go to Jerusalem, or go to the Jews. And as a result of that, he was going to be kept alive until that mission was completed. So we'll stop for that just because of the time. I'm finding this to be quite interesting, just reading of it and thinking about what the beginnings were for Paul and what his ministry was and how he was, the struggles that he faced. And I suppose the thing that comes to my mind is, how can we apply the things that happened to him in a positive way to ourselves in our service to the Lord? So with that, let's close with a quick word of prayer. Heavenly God and Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the Apostle Paul. We thank you, Lord, for just your plan, your plans, and how they include us, as well as these others that we've been reading about. We'd ask, Lord, you would continue to bless each one of us. We'd ask that you would answer our prayer request according to your will. And we ask, Lord, you continue to guide, direct in our lives. We ask it all in our Savior's name, the Lord Christ Jesus, for his sake. Amen.